As we think about where we are in the society, and I know in our prayers I heard the mention of famine, because there's so many things going on in the world today. You turn on your TV, you read your news, and all parts of the world, there's something going on. There's a virus here. There's famine here. How many of you notice and track the story of the major famine going on in Africa where the locusts have been eating the crops? And the reason that's important is without crops, there's no food. I mean, if we think about it, everything that we eat that we use to sustain ourselves, generally it's either grown or it is fed by what's grown. When you talk about cattle or hogs or sheep, they have to have something to eat themselves. And normally, it's plants. It's something that's grown. So if locusts are eating all of the crops, you don't have much to work with. And I used to think that, well, if they have famine in one place, just grow crops somewhere else. Do you know there's just so much land in the world? My dad used to always tell us that, son, you need to work to own some land. And he said the reason is that's the one thing they don't make any more of, not making any more land. So you get involved in real estate. And that I thought about that. So forward thinking. Book of Proverbs is a teaching book for us, for Christians, for the church. It's one of those books where if you can take time to read, there's always something you can draw from what Proverbs says. We have to read it maybe twice or three times to let it sink in, but that's why it's called one of the wisdom books in the Bible, Book of Psalms, Book of Proverbs. And some people will dedicate themselves to just reading different chapters in Proverbs each month. And anybody who can tell me how many chapters there are in Proverbs? And because there are 31 chapters, some people can line that up with the months. And each month I'm going to read a chapter of Proverbs. And that's a good way for us to know what God is saying to us. But forward thinking is important because sometimes we as people can get stuck in the past. We can get stuck looking back. We're so concerned about what happened yesterday that we don't look forward. And God wants us always to look ahead. Now he tells us there are some times, certainly when he says remember, memorialize. We know that. There are some things that should always be important to the church. That's why we do communion. God wants us to look back on his death, his burial, his resurrection, because that builds the foundation for who we are as a church. He wants us to know what the prophets stood for and what apostles taught and the sacrifice that they made, leaving family and friends and just committing to be there on Jesus' side and on that battlefield. He wants us to know that, but he does not want us to dwell in our past. There are some things that we have gone through in building our lives that we got to let go. We got to know that this is about going forward, not going backwards. And the way we go forward is to communicate with God, know what his teaching is, and then trust it to be what he wants it to be. So trustworthy teachers bring confidence. When we read the scripture, the scriptures say, trust in the Lord. Now, why does he start with that? Because God knows that as men and women, we can be led to trust in the people around us. Nothing wrong with having good friends. We ought to have some buddies, some confidants, some co-workers that we trust. Some of the military men here, you know, they teach you early on, you got to trust your comrade, your buddy, your fellow soldier, because many times on the battlefield, that's the person who can save your life. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with trusting somebody, but we're never supposed to trust people more than we trust who? God. We got to know how to trust God. Husbands and wives, we ought to have confidence that our spouses have our best interests at heart. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. We have that, but we can't ever put that wife or that husband ahead of God. Because God tells us in the scripture, if that spouse, that husband, that wife, if they will trust God, then they'll love you. They'll have a place for you because they will understand that I can't hurt my spouse because my spouse is part of me. We are one flesh. And when we learn to stand together like that, that makes all the difference in the world. So forward thinking, the scripture said, trust in the Lord. And not just a little bit. He said we ought to trust God with all our heart. Have you ever known anybody who did something what we call half-heartedly? They were into it, but they didn't really have their soul into it. They did it, but if they had a choice, they wouldn't do it. We call that half-hearted. Sometimes they say lukewarm. And the Bible tells us we ought to trust God with all our heart. Now, what is the difference? How do we know that we're trusting God with all our heart? You and I both know. When we determine what's important in our life. When we determine what's important, we do what? We put that thing first. Somebody say, that's why January and February are so popular with weight loss companies and weight loss equipment. People make that commitment, come out strong with that resolution. I'm going to lose some weight and get on that bike or treadmill or whatever it is. And by the time March come, that weight loss equipment is on the side. It's in the yard sale. It's gone because somebody say, I don't need all that. I'll just go on and deal with that a little later on. I'll do something else. The commitment's not there. It's half-hearted when that commitment is made. God says, trust me with all your heart. When we trust God with all our heart, we put God first. How do we know we're putting God first? Because he becomes more important than playing golf. Or tennis, or shopping, or whatever it happens to be, we put him first. And so we all know when we're setting our priorities, whether we are putting God first or not. And the other good thing about God, I'm so glad he doesn't have a bad temper and that he's not a forgiving, he is a forgiving God. If he was not a forgiving God, where would we be? Because if the truth be told, there's nobody here today from pastor to usher, deacon. There's nobody here that can say I've been perfect in my service to God. All of us could say, if we would be honest with ourselves and we're asked the question, could we do more in serving God? I think we all would have to admit there's more we could do. Now, you may be at that fiery worker. You're doing a lot. But we're just saying, is there room for us to grow? We would have to say yes. So our teaching then comes from the Bible. It comes from what God shares with us. From Genesis to Revelation, there is God teaching us how we can grow stronger and more committed to him. And as we're committed, we will have more confidence in what we do day to day. It ought to be a good feeling when you know that this decision I made, this step that I took, I believe it's the right thing, and I'll back it. I feel good about what I have committed to. It said trustworthy teachers can bring commitment. Commitment. The scriptures say that we should lean not to our own understanding. Our own understanding. Listen, these self-help programs, there's some good ones in the world set up on a good scheme. But most programs that really work take their foundation from the Bible. Just go look. Think about any book that you like that you believe has been helpful in giving you direction. In giving you purpose, you go look at the basis of it, and if it's really good, its basis is in the Bible. The world's greatest salesman, think and grow rich. The basis is in the Bible, because what they tell us are things like you need to sacrifice. You can't be selfish. Things that the Bible would tell us, we don't have to go to those books, in other words. We can go to what God teaches us, and we can see what he says, and it will bring commitment in our life. Now, somebody help me. What is commitment? Just think about what commitment would mean to you. What is commitment? Commitment is when we make that decision that we're going to follow through on what we say we're going to do. Back to weight loss. If now I'm not I'm not in this category right now, but if I was 40 pounds overweight, over what the government says, you know, what the scale said I should weigh, I'd have to do something about it, and it would need to start with my moving back from the table. That's got to be number one. I don't know what else they have out there. We can take all the pills in the world, but I think in the end, it would have to be that I need to control my eating habits. I need to eat differently. I need to eat less. Something. If I'm not willing to do that, if I'm not willing to make that commitment, I shouldn't be surprised to find I'm not going to lose a lot of weight. And if I go through that period where I don't get the results that I want to have, my commitment will wane. It'll slowly go away. And that's when people decide it's not worth it. And that's when the equipment goes to the side. We're having a yard sale here in April, and you watch some of the stuff that's going to come out of the closets. And that's it's good for the yard sale, but that person, if they had a choice, they could have saved that money if they weren't going to make a commitment to it. And it's not just weight loss. It's everything that we approach in life. We need to be people who are willing to make commitments for what we think needs to be done. When we make commitments, we'll do what? We have follow through. And if we have follow through, we're likely to get some results. God wants us as Christians to know how to get results. Because we know the truth is God is not happy with anybody who won't make a commitment striving for results. What does he say about when he talks about a person who says they believe in him? He says he doesn't like lukewarm Christians. Y'all know the past. He doesn't like lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, either be hot or be cold. In other words, that shouldn't be a fence that we walk down. Be hot or be cold. Be for God or be against him. But God doesn't want anybody still trying to figure out, I don't know if I think God is real or not. I don't know if I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He just said we ought to make commitments. And then the third thing that tells us, if we'll do this, if we'll study, if we get close to God, we'll find that when we're talking about forward thinking, our forward thinking will come in us knowing that trustworthy teachers bring success. What do you mean by success, preacher? You mean at House in River Oaks? No, although that could come. That may be the way God opens a door for this person or that person. And there's nothing wrong. You live in River Oaks. God bless you. And there are many people that strive for that. Their thought of success involves those physical things, resources, and assets. Nothing wrong with that. God can provide that. But when God talks about success, the first thing that he looks at is our spiritual connection to him. Do we trust him? Do we believe that he is real? Do we believe that he is God all by himself? That's where he starts. Because you notice as God blessed people in the Bible, an Abraham, an Isaac, a Jacob, he blessed them because of their faithfulness to him. And when you compare what Abraham did, or Isaac did, or Jacob did, or Solomon, or whoever it had to be, King David, it was when compared to other people, they had more faith in God. They trusted God and did not lean to their own understanding. Their own understanding would have told them one thing. Think about Abraham. When God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. That had to be hard. Any parent can understand. Say, you got to sacrifice your son. And didn't even give Abraham any details. Just say, you go when I tell you to go. Take him up there. And Abraham followed. He committed without any further information. He committed. He loaded up the wood. Y'all know the story. Got the animals and got the servants, and they headed up to a mountain to sacrifice Isaac. And it's only when they got there and got to that very time when his hand was raised with the knife in it, and the angel stayed his hand, provided the ram in the bush. Abraham's success came from what? Faithfulness to God first. And because he was faithful to God, God opened up other doors. All of us have to remember that. Forward thinking means that we look ahead and not backwards. Forward thinking means that we put God first in our activities and nobody else. No person in this world has more to share with us and give us direction than God has. Yeah. Forward thinking. And forward thinking would let us know that no matter what I'm dealing with today, no matter what obstacles I may have in my pathway that seem to keep me from having success, if I will just trust God, yeah, if I will put God first, if I will follow his teaching and be committed to him, God will open a door that nobody else can open. What's that song that we sing all the time? We were singing it last week. Trouble don't last. Always. Sometimes, y'all, we can get burdened down with things. There's something going on in our families, in our lives, and we're asking ourselves, Lord, why all this? Where's this coming from? When God must be just saying, be faithful. And if you be faithful over a few things, I'll open up a way for you. And just our knowing that is what we want to remember. And so that forward thinking will always bring us that confidence. It will bring us commitment. And it will bring us success. As long as we know that the way God defines success may be different from the way we define success here in this new age. We may be thinking a new car and a new house and a lot of money in the bank. God, that's what I think about success. But as we can see every day, all the money in the world won't do what we think needs to be done.
Yeah.
You can be the world's richest person, but if you die without Jesus, is for nothing. But if we have Jesus, I can have my second grade education, $50 in the mattress, not even in the bank, but God can take care of me. When I trust him, when I commit to him, when I know what true success is. So all I'm telling you this morning, let God define for you who you are. Let God define and show you what forward thinking is, because when it's all said and done, y'all, only the things we do for Christ are the ones that's going to last.
Yes.
That other stuff won't mean a hill of beans when it's all said and done. And so we look back, and it gives us then a deeper understanding of what Calvary was all about, what that sacrifice was all about. If it were not important to show Christians that they ought to be forward thinking, Jesus never would have come to go to the cross.
Amen.
But he wanted us not to always be looking back on who we used to be. Who are we today? Who do we want to be tomorrow? Do we want to be able to go to heaven? Do we want to be able to have peace in our life? Do we want to have success as God defines it? Be committed and stable people. God said, just trust me. I'll make a way out of no way. So when Jesus went to Calvary and sacrificed his life, you and I know it was to open the door for all of us.
Yeah.
And he said, whosoever will,
yeah.
Let him come. But you got to come believing, you got to come confessing, you got to come accepting Jesus Christ. And I find that when you have Jesus, you stop worrying about a whole lot of other things.
Yeah.
You don't let people define who you are or where you are to go. You are comfortable in who you are, and you know that God can make a way for you. So on this Sunday morning, we just want to encourage you, keep your head up. Keep looking to the hills from whence cometh your help, because we do know that our help come from the Lord. That's why Jesus got up out of the grave with all power in his hand, so that we all would know and always would know there is hope in the world. That's why he got up, so we could live our lives knowing that we can do what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
He is a mighty good God. Yes. Will you help me give God a hand clap of praise? He's worthy to be praised.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."